Good morning. It's certainly good to be with you this morning. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read verse number 10, and then we want to turn over to the book of Titus, and we want to read Titus 2, verse number 14. This lesson this morning is a continuation of what we talked about last week. We began our lesson last week in Ephesians chapter 2. We read 1 through 10, focused in on verse 10. And so this morning I want to begin our lesson like we did last week. But I just want to read verse number 10. We'll talk about verse number 10. We'll then turn over and look at Titus chapter 2, verse 14. We'll read that verse. We'll talk a little bit about that verse. We'll use these two verses as a way of introduction as we continue to talk about the good works that we are to do in Christ Jesus. And so beginning at verse number 10, Ephesians 2, verse number 10, Paul says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, as you look at Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10, the Apostle Paul is showing us how God can take someone who is dead in their sins and make them alive. He's actually talking about His workmanship. And in Ephesians 2, verse 10, Paul says that we are God's workmanship. You'll notice that in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that God is the one that is doing the work. And you see that even in Colossians 2, verse number 12, when Paul says we are buried with Him by baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him, now listen to it, through the working of God that raised Him from the dead. Go back again to Colossians 2, verse 12, through the working of God, just as God raised Jesus from the dead, we learn in Colossians 2:12 and Ephesians 2:1 through 10 that God is raising us from the deadness of sin and making us alive again, spiritually speaking. Also in Colossians 1, verse number 13, you see that God is at work when He is delivering us from the power of darkness and He's translating us into the kingdom of His dear Son with a purpose. And so this is what we can conclude from Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Salvation has a purpose. Think about that. Salvation has a purpose. What is that purpose? Ephesians 2, verse number 10. Good works. We have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That is the reason, the purpose of salvation. Why God raises us from the deadness of sin to make us alive. To be in a position to do good works. Now let's turn our attention to the book of Titus. And notice with me Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse number 14. And what you'll see that these two contexts are very, very similar. We're talking really about the same thing. Now, at verse number 14, Paul says, "Who gave Himself for us," speaking about Christ, "who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." And so here Paul is showing us how Christ paid the price for our sins to set us free. And if we've been set free, Paul says that we are God's prized possession. We are His treasure. We belong to God for a special purpose. Again, what is that special purpose from Titus 2, verse number 14? That we would be zealous. Notice that from verse 14. So that we would be zealous of good works. Now friends, we wouldn't know that. We wouldn't know that if it wasn't for the Scriptures. And I'm thankful for the Scriptures. Because we see our purpose in salvation. God raises us with a purpose, and that purpose is clearly stated in Ephesians 2:10 and Titus 2, verse number 14. As you continue to look at the book of Titus, though, you will see in Titus chapter 3, verse 1, that we are to be ready unto good works. You'll see in Titus 3, 8, in Titus 3, verse 14, that as God's children, as His prized possession, His treasure, we are to maintain good works. Why is that so important? Why is it so important that we maintain good works? Well, in Matthew 24 through 46, the wise and faithful servant is the one who is doing, is the one who is laboring and active when the Lord returns. That's why we need to be busy. That's why we need to be about the Father's business, so that when the Lord returns, we will be found ready. I don't know when the Lord's going to return, but one thing I do know is this. God's redeemed people, Ephesians 5 verse 16, redeem the time. And we can use our time wisely by maintaining good works. But there's another reason from Titus 2:14 and Ephesians 2 verse 10 why it's so important that we maintain good works. We need to be zealous. We need to be passionate about the Lord's work so others can see God's saving power on display. Have you ever thought about that as it relates to good works? Remember Ephesians 2 verse 10, we are God's workmanship. We are His handiwork, His work of art when He takes us from the deadness of sin and makes us alive, raising us with a purpose. We put His saving power on display by our good works, by the way that we live our life. We quote Matthew 5, verse number 16 all of the time, but you see how that applies to what we're talking about? Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works. But listen, by your good works in Christ Jesus, people again are seeing the power of God on display by the way that you live your life, by your labor, by your work in the vineyard. Again, that should motivate us to be about the Father's business. Well, in our lesson, we are looking at things from the Scriptures that will cause us to be passionate about the Lord's work. Last week, we mentioned these three things. And all three things, again, motivate us to be busy, to be active in the vineyard. And again, these things come from the Scriptures. As we think about the Lord's work, remember God has allowed us to work in His vineyard. Working for God, laboring in the vineyard of God, it's not a burden, it's a privilege that we have in Christ Jesus. Number two, we pointed out the work that we're doing in the kingdom of God. It's the greatest work. It's the greatest work that we can be doing. Again, when God says, "My son, go work today in my vineyard," doing the Lord's work is a great work. It's an awesome privilege that we have in Christ Jesus to do, again, good works. But then we noticed the last point last week. And we talked about the joy that was associated in doing the Lord's work. I like what the Apostle John said in 3 John verse number 4. I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth. And friends, there is no greater joy than to see fellow Christians laboring in the kingdom of God. Think about the joy that is associated with doing God's work. We talked about the joy that is associated with salvation. We talked about the joy that was associated, again, doing the Lord's work, and that same joy will be experienced on the day of judgment if we're faithful to God when we hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the everlasting kingdom." We need to think about the joy that's associated with doing the Lord's work. Well, this morning we're going to add three more points. We're going to add three more points to what we've already said. And again, these three things will motivate us. They should encourage us to be laboring in God's vineyard. And so if you're writing out these things, this actually would be number four. Number four. Our Heavenly Father has promised to be with us as we labor in His vineyard. Again, we're looking at things from the Scriptures that will encourage us to be passionate about God's work. And that certainly is encouraging. Knowing that God is with us, knowing that God is strengthening us as we labor in His vineyard. Now, as we think about these points, I like going back to the Old Testament because I truly believe the Old Testament is just filled with illustrations that can stir us up, that can really emphasize what we're pointing out here in the New Testament. Let me invite you to turn back to the book of Haggai, one of the minor prophets. Well, as you're turning back to the book of Haggai, let me give you the historical context, the historical setting. The people of God have been released from Babylonian captivity. They have gone home. They have gone back to Jerusalem. And you remember Zerubbabel, he leads the first group back. And God is going to send Haggai and Zechariah along Haggai and Zerubbabel to really stir up the people, to encourage the people to be busy about the Father's business. Well, as you begin looking at the book of Haggai, God wants His people to consider their ways. The people have been busy, but they haven't been busy in doing God's work. They've been selfish. And they've been busy in building their own houses. And God's encouraging them to build His house. In chapter 1, verse number 8, He wants them to know that He has provided for them, provided the material so that they could build. We also see in verses 9 through 11 that during this time of idleness, God was withholding blessings from them because they were not laboring. Again, they were laboring, but they were busy doing their own thing. And God's house lied here waste. Consider your ways. Well, Haggai is going to stir up the people through preaching, as you'll notice in verse number 12, in verse number 13. He stirred up the people. He told the people that the Lord would be with them to strengthen them, and the people are going to respond in a very positive way. And I want to pick up in Haggai chapter 2, verse number 3 and 4. Really, verse number 4. "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Joshedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work." Now listen to what God says. "For I am with you, saith the Lord." Remember, Zerubbabel and Joshua, they would be leading the people in the work. How does God encourage the people to get to work, to be busy? He reminds them, "I will strengthen you. I will be with you when you're doing my work." You know, knowing that the Lord has promised to strengthen us, knowing that the Lord has promised to be with us, it encourages us to do His work, to be abounding in the work of the Lord. A passage that we emphasized last week from 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 58, we should be abounding in the work of the Lord. "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. But what is it that encourages us to be abounding? What is it that motivates us to be laboring more and more? It's knowing that God is with us and that God is strengthening us in His work. Let me give you another Old Testament example. Same time period, the return of captivity, but turn back, if you would, to the book of Nehemiah. And as you think about the book of Nehemiah, again, Zerubbabel, he led the first group back, and they laid the foundation, and the work stopped. That's the book of Haggai. God is encouraging His people, again, to get busy. He reminds them that I'm with you, I'm going to strengthen you, and the people of God began to do the work. Well, as we go back to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah leads the third group back out of captivity. And Nehemiah is going to encourage the people to build the wall in the midst of opposition. Now think about that. We pointed this out last week. Whenever we do the Lord's work, there's going to be opposition. Nehemiah was doing the Lord's work in the midst of opposition. You remember when Sanballat and Tobiah were trying to discourage Nehemiah, Nehemiah 6, verse number 3. Nehemiah says, listen, we're doing a great, great work. You see, when we're doing the work of the Lord, we need to remember that. We are doing a great work. But go, if you would, to Nehemiah chapter 2. In Nehemiah chapter 2, we see that Nehemiah in chapter 2 viewed the wall. He made a plan of attack. He saw what he was up against. He realized the opposition, and all of this is brought out in chapter 2. But Nehemiah's mindset was, verse 18, let us rise and build. We've got work to do. And you know what, brethren? We need to get busy. And so in verse number 19, notice that. In verse number 19, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore we, His servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Again, that is all the people needed to hear. We are going to rise and we're going to build. We're going to work because the Lord is going to be with us. And the Lord is going to be the one who strengthens our hands. When it comes to the Lord's work, God has given us a great, great work to do. And I believe that work is seen in the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the work, the labor that God has given us to do in His vineyard. And it is a great work. It's the greatest work that we can be doing. But sometimes we lose focus of the work. Sometimes we find ourselves being distracted from the Lord's work. Or not only distracted, sometimes we may even get discouraged doing the Lord's work. What brings about that discouragement? It's opposition. Opposition has always hindered God's work. We see that in the Old Testament. And listen to me, spiritually speaking, we see that in the New Testament. And this is why it's so important to understand where our motivation comes from. It comes from what we know in the Scriptures. It comes from knowing that, listen, our God is there with us. He's there to strengthen us. He's there to help us. You know, when you look at Matthew's account of the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, you remember verse number 20, what the Lord says to us, lo, I am with you. Sometimes we forget about that. We talk to somebody about the Lord and they may shut the door or they may cut us down. They may make fun of us. Oh, you people are the only ones believe that you're going to heaven. You only believe in one church, and you believe in baptism. And people begin to make fun of us. And we get discouraged sometimes. We need to remember what Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end." Friends, that will stir us up. That will motivate us. That will strengthen us. God's presence strengthens us. It strengthens His people to be abounding in the work of the Lord. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is Isaiah 40, verse 31. And it has to do with what we're talking about this morning. "They that wait upon the Lord shall be renewed with strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not faint. They shall run and not be weary." God says, don't grow weary in well-doing. But sometimes we do grow weary. But if we understand what we're talking about this morning, we're not going to grow weary. Because we'll remember that the Lord is there with us. Again, things from the Scripture that will motivate us, that will stir us up to be abounding in the Lord's work. It's knowing, again, that God has allowed us to work in His vineyard. It's knowing that the Lord's work is the greatest work that we can be doing. It's also knowing the joy that is associated with the work. It's also knowing that God is with us and His presence strengthens us. It motivates us to continue to labor in His vineyard till He returns. But notice number five. Think about this fifth point. It's knowing, number five, that our labor is not in vain. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, a passage that we have alluded to several times, encouraging us to be abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing, Paul says, your labor is not in vain. Again, that goes back to the second point. The Lord's work is the greatest work. And one of the reasons it's the greatest work is knowing that, listen, our labor in the Lord, whatever we're doing in the vineyard of God, whatever the work God has given us to do, it's not in vain. And I believe we're prone to forget that. We easily forget things. But God doesn't forget. Turn over, if you would, to this New Testament passage in the book of Hebrews that emphasizes this point about the Lord's work. We may forget, but the Lord is not going to forget our labor in His vineyard. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Do you realize from the book of Hebrews that these Christians were beginning to backslide to a certain degree? Like the people in the days of Haggai, the work was beginning to cease. And the writer of Hebrews is reminding them about the good work that they're doing through Jesus Christ. And one way that the writer motivates them to continue in the work is by reminding them that God is not going to forget what you have done in His name. Now you think about the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 6. You remember why they worked? You remember why they would do things in the name of the Lord? Jesus talks about their righteous deeds, in fact, in Matthew 6. And He points out several things that they were doing, and the reason they were doing them was to be seen of men. And Jesus says they have their reward. Remember, the Lord is not going to forget your work. And I realize when it comes to the Lord's work, this is so true. A lot of the good things that you're doing in the kingdom, that I might be doing in the kingdom, a lot of times those things go unnoticed. And we allow those thoughts to cross our mind. Does anybody know what I'm doing in the kingdom of God? And sometimes we want that self-recognition. when we need to stop and remember, listen, the good works that we're doing in the name of the Lord, we're not doing those good works to be seen of men. But what motivates me to want to maintain good works, Titus 3:8 and 14, is knowing that my labor in the Lord is not in vain. And all the little secret things that I may be doing behind the scenes, doing the Lord's work, those things may go unnoticed by the brethren, but our God sees the small things that we're doing. He sees the little things. He sees all the things that we're doing behind the scenes for His glory. And that's what we need to focus on. Again, when it comes to the Lord's work, our labor is not in vain. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12 verse 11 says, we are to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That particular word fervent literally means in the original language to be on fire. Again, talking about the passion, the zeal that we are to have in doing the Lord's work. We are to be on fire when it comes to serving the Lord. Well, one thing that we know about fire is it takes fuel, again, to have fire. And we think about the spiritual fire that Paul is talking about. It takes fuel. What is it that fuels us, that causes us to be fervent in spirit? Again, it's the things that we're talking about this morning. It's knowing that God has allowed us to work. It's knowing that we're doing a great work. It's knowing the joy that is associated with the work. It's knowing that God is with us and strengthening us in the work. It's knowing that our labor is not in vain. Those are the things that fuel the fire, that stir us up to be zealous unto good works, to be passionate about the Lord's work. Sometimes I think we lose sight of the passion that we are to have toward the Lord's work. Oh, we may be laboring, but we don't have much motivation. We need to be passionate. We need to be zealous when it comes to God's work. And then finally, as we think about this last point, we're mentioning six things that can really stir us up. And notice the last one, the reward. You see, we know that there is a reward for those who labor in the Lord. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, we see Azariah's speech to Asa. Now Asa was a good king. And Asa made a huge difference. But you know how Ahaziah stirred up Asa? He said in 2 Chronicles 15, verse number 7, be strong in the Lord, and let not your hands be weak, for the Lord will reward you for the work that you've done. He said, don't let your hands be weak. The Lord will reward you. And when Asa heard those words, I'm going to tell you what. You read 2 Chronicles chapter 15. He was one fired up prophet that made some great changes in the kingdom of God's people at that time. And do you realize that those same truths that we see in the Bible that we're talking about this morning, they can really stir us up when it comes to the Lord's work. Paul says in Colossians 3, 23 and 24, for whatsoever you do in the Lord, do it heartily unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord, listen to it, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. You know, as I'm working, as you're working in God's vineyard, we need to remember that God is with us, strengthening us. We need to remember that our labor is not in vain, and we need to think about the eternal reward. You see, that's really how the book of Revelation ends. Lo, I come quickly. Revelation 22:12. And listen, and my reward is with me. As we labor in God's vineyard, we understand that there is so much work to do. Souls need to hear the gospel. Brethren need to be encouraged and strengthened. People in this world need help. And God has given us a great, great work to do. And I hope this morning that we will take heed, like Jeremiah told the people, let us search and try our ways. Let's examine ourselves. Let's do that this morning as it relates to the Lord's work. What are we doing in God's vineyard? Are we working? Are we laboring? Do we have the right motivation? Are we zealous in the work? If not, I hope you will think about the things that we've said last week and even this morning, because these things will encourage us, motivate us to be abounding in the work of the Lord, so that when the Lord returns, He will find us faithful. He will find us busy and active, and we will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If you never obeyed the gospel, we want you to know how much God loves you. And we talked about already from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 10, that what God wants more than anything is for you to be saved. And God has the power to change your life, to raise you from the deadness of sin, and to make you alive because of what His Son accomplished on the cross by dying for our sins. God's plan of salvation is clearly seen in the New Testament. We have to hear the Word. We have to believe it. We have to repent of our sins and confess the precious name. And we can see, as we talked about from Ephesians chapter 2, Colossians 1 through 12, that one must be baptized into Jesus Christ in order for God to work, in order for God to save you, to raise you from the deadness of sin. But that's how we contact the blood of Jesus Christ. It's when we're baptized. But remember, if we've been baptized into Christ, He raises us to walk in newness of life. He raises us with a purpose. And so if you are a child of God, I encourage you to be abounding in the work of the Lord. If you're not, I encourage you to make those changes that are necessary even this morning as we stand and as we sing.